98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. He played tackle in the NFL for more than a decade. Max Starks. Maximum football. With Doug and Wolf.
Please welcome, from the University of Florida, tackle, Max Starks.
Yes.
Wow. I hate to do this to you. We want to talk football, but as soon as something like something breaks as quickly as it did, we always want to be able to give you that information. And it is, I don't know what's the right button here. There it is.
Hey. Retweet this. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
According to @KeySmith NBA, blue check mark, sources in addition to the Sacramento Kings getting involved in helping facilitate a Jimmy Butler trade, the Suns are open to jumping in as well.
Oh.
Phoenix will get involved if they can get a point guard in return. Just want to let you know that. And remember, there were rumors, I shouldn't say they were rumors, they were real, but I'll just call them rumors, that the Suns were interested in looking at Jimmy Butler in a Devin Booker trade about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
Right. So, the other shoe apparently getting ready to draw.
So sorry to derail Maximum Football, but hey, Max Starks, former Orlando Magic ball boy. So it's not like he doesn't know basketball.
Max Sparks. Yeah. That'd be great if it was Sparks.
Why do you mock it? Because I'm the one that screwed up.
No, I love it. Could you imagine if his last name was Sparks?
Maximum Sparks.
Max Sparks.
I like Starks. Okay.
Jordan would then be my cousin.
That's well done.
I love it, yes.
I wouldn't complain. Free concert ticket.
Well done on that one. Max, this is now an official epidemic. To the point, on Monday Night Football, color analysts on Monday Night Football are having major problems with it, and that is roughing the passer. Here's Booger McFarland. By the way, give Booger a spot in the booth. Don't have him travel around on cameras.
This is a physical game, man. We want to hit people, and I would challenge Troy Vincent and Roger Goodell, the people in Al Riveron, the people that are making these rules, get down in a three-point stance and go full speed at the quarterback, and then in a split second, decide you're going to have to roll to the side. It's almost impossible to do. When the best athletes in the world, Scotty, can't do it, that should tell you something.
Completely agree.
Yeah? Booger. As an offensive lineman, as a left tackle.
As a left tackle in this league, I completely agree because I know that it's going to affect my team as well. So it's not just the guy I'm going against and them hitting my quarterback, but it's also going to affect my team, especially when I was on a Steelers team that was one of the top defenses in the league that was sacking the quarterback at a high rate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And could you imagine? I mean, we dealt with a lot with how they picked on James Harrison when
Blitzburg.
I was there. And Joey Porter. You know, those type of guys, Kimo von Olhoffen, Brett Kiesel, Aaron Smith. I mean, we had a lot of guys who hit quarterbacks at a very high rate. And so if that rule was in Pittsburgh back when I played, we'd be in trouble,
you know,
just like they were last night.
I say this, though, and I think this is really important. I have zero problem with the rule. I have 100% problem with the enforcement because all three of us will remember, and I think most people that are even above 30 years old will remember, the Tony Siragusa hit on Rich Gannon should be illegal. He clearly picked up Rich Gannon in the air, flew into the air as much as Siragusa could fly, and dropped his whole body weight on top of him and knew that belly flop was going to injure the quarterback. That should be a foul. These Clay Matthews hits are nothing like that.
No.
And the hits last night were nothing like that. The two on Fitzpatrick, the three on Fitzpatrick, and the one of the two on Ben, the helmet, obviously that's one that's a no-no.
Totally
agree. Of how it was.
Yes.
Even though it was a Big Ben flop, I don't think they should have called it, but that is the rule.
But that's the rule. You cannot hit the quarterback on the top of the head with your hand.
Yes.
That's just cut and dry. Makes sense. But the other ones, balls released, not even two steps, and you're calling these. And you could hear the referee was kind of like, roughing the passer.
No doubt. Like
he was annoyed. Like he had just got off the phone with Roger Goodell.
Yes.
Like saying, hey, you call everyone that even remotely looks close. But because, like you said, it's tough to hit a man going full speed in those weather conditions or any normal conditions and then try and peel off with your
it's impossible. Yeah, it's really impossible. It's ridiculous. The NFL's got to address it. They have to do something about it. I think they probably will. Having said that, do you remember in the offseason when the NFL announced this helmet rule out of nowhere? Do you remember that? Huh? Oh my goodness, the angst, the outrage, the fists in the air, the vows that were being made at the time, and now all of a sudden. How often are they calling?
It happened exactly as we thought it would. They called it like crazy in the preseason.
Exactly right.
And they haven't done it now in the regular season.
Exactly right. And I think that's the way this is going
to go. It's got to go away
as well.
This is one, and Max, I don't know if you have heard about this one, but this is the one where I'm wondering whether the NFL will get a clue or not. And if you haven't seen the play, Miami Dolphins, Oakland Raiders, in which you have William Hayes rushing off the edge, and he grabs Derek Carr, and while he's got him, he tries to turn his body. And as he's turning his body to avoid putting his weight on top of the quarterback, his foot catches the ground, tears his ACL, out for the year.
William Hayes will be out for the season. He tore his ACL on that sack. He was trying to not put body weight on the quarterback, so his foot got caught in the ground.
Are you saying that Hayes tried not to put body weight on the quarterback and that caused the injury?
I'm just telling you what he did.
Yeah.
I mean, now the name, okay, Rodgers last year on a hit that should not be illegal, and now we have a player actually out for a year trying to avoid the penalty, in which to me, Max, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's so easy to enforce. I look at the shoulders. If your shoulders are remaining parallel to the ground, I don't know if the NFL knows this, gravity pulls you down and you're going through the quarterback. How is that a penalty? But it's so easy to see the upward motion. And then once your shoulders start to become somewhat perpendicular at a little bit of an acute angle, that now you're driving the guy down. To me, it's obvious. Watch the shoulders. Am I making something up that's too hard for a referee to see?
I don't think you are. I think the problem is that they're so, I think, just beleaguered mm-hmm. with making sure that this game is safe and there's a way to play that they're just but it's inconsistent. Like you said, it's inconsistent on how they call
this
play. And that's my issue. The fact that a guy is out for the year trying not to hurt his team, he ends up hurting himself in the process. The fact that he has to second guess himself as opposed to playing this game at a high level at a very fast speed. That's what this game's predicated on.
Yes.
You play fast and you play hard. This is football.
And you think William Hayes is ever going to avoid that again? No, he's going to go right through the guy.
Yeah.
Where's the line? I mean, that is a question that we're all asking right now. Where is that line? Where is it still football, and where is it not football? Where is it where we need to start calling it something else like feetball, right, instead of football? Where is that line? I think that's – football's in a state of flux. That's not a surprise to anybody, right? The football universe right now is in a state of flux. It is going through a paradigm shift. Where does it go? How far does that shift go? That's the question we're all asking right now. And the NFL better be careful. They better be careful, because if that thing shifts too far, they're going to lose an awful lot of fans.
I think it already has. And then the question is, will the NFL react and get it back? And when I say that, I don't mean that all of a sudden people are leaving now. I just mean this is the starting point now. Because they've been through enough with all the hits in the secondary and everything that's changed in football. I think fans are now officially done with it, and they have to go through the process of, do I really want to be without football?
I'd have to see the metrics once again.
Yeah.
Not only the ratings. Don't tell me about the ratings, because you know what? The ratings, people are consuming the NFL in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, that's
take
true.
Out your phone and look at your phone.
Yeah, second
waving.
Screen experience
that
is,
thing
are, is
exactly
through
right.
the roof.
So,
yep.
You know what? But the revenue, of course, the ticket sales, all of that. Show me the metrics.
Coming up next.
We're looking at the situation, evaluating the film, evaluating the quarterback position. I decided that Josh Rosen would be our starter going forward.
Max Starks, Maximum Football, reveals his choice for the starting quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports poll question.
brought to you by Sanderson Ford.
Really?
The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Maloney, what you got today?
Tell us how you really feel, Wolf. Really?
What do you got for us, Mel?
Maloney.
Yeah.
How many touchdowns will Josh Rosen throw in the first quarter of the season? Well, hold on. This poll question is worded. How many touchdowns would Josh Rosen throw in his first start of the season? So, no, it's written messed up. How many touchdowns will Josh Rosen throw in his first start of the season?
Boy, did we butcher that.
I don't think we did. Did it say first quarter of the season?
Well, no, but it says with.
Oh, that's
instead
weird.
Of will.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. The same person that wrote the buzz wrote that.
Tried to be as smooth as you, where you just read the incorrect.
Listen, if they want to put it up there, I'll read what you wrote.
I am
Ron Burgundy. I almost pulled a Charles Barkley there and just kept going. You know, I wanted to. I'm sorry. I'm going to go with one because I think it's going to be a lot of David Johnson and a lot of running. I'm going to keep it as
I
a
hope
low
so.
Number.
My fantasy team hopes so.
Yeah.
I'll go two.
I forgot the question.
Not shocking. Not shocking.
Well,
Wolf says $1. $1.
43% say two touchdowns. 36% one touchdown. 13% zero. 8% three or more.
Grammar is good.
I'm not a big fan of that question. It's not terrible.
It's just technically the first quarter of the season and his first start are both happening at the same time.
That's what I was thinking, too. So it could be the first quarter.
Okay, I don't know where I got the first quarter. That was imaginary, made up in my head.
Sam Bradford in the first quarter? Is that why?
Yeah, well, usually,
you know what I was thinking of? Maybe because the Cardinals only scored in the first quarter last week.
I
got to tell you this story quickly, right? I was sitting there at a 7-Eleven, right? And I was in a Jeep with a rag top on it. And in the passenger seat was a dog, our dog. Her name was Sierra. She was a Queensland Heeler. Smartest dog you've ever seen, ladies and gentlemen, right? She would sit there. I came walking out of the 7-Eleven. I jumped into the driver's seat and I looked over and there was a guy that was in the driver's seat of a car next to Sierra. And he was looking literally at her eyes. And I leaned forward and he looked at me and said, "She got smart eyes." That's what she said.
So therefore, Max Starks, does Josh Rosen have smart eyes in your opinion?
She got smart eyes.
I don't know. I'm sorry. What was the question?
Yeah.
Just joking.
This is Steve Wilkes at the presser.
Josh right now is our starter. As I talked before when Sam, I said Sam was our starter and it was his job to lose. And I'm saying the exact same thing about Josh Rosen. Josh is our starter and it's his job to lose.
Different scenario.
Boy, that was sobering.
But you're an offensive lineman and you know the future is Ben Roethlisberger. Everybody knows the future is Ben Roethlisberger. And when Ben Roethlisberger comes into the game for the first time and gets in the huddle, what were you thinking?
Let's roll.
Yeah?
I mean, that was my draft mate. We shared locker next to each other our entire careers. And you knew there was something special about him. And, you know, you hate to see when a guy, like in our situation, you hate to see a guy go down. Like Tommy Maddox got knocked out of the game against Baltimore. Ben almost wins the game for us.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That first game. But then after that, he reels off an NFL rookie record of most consecutive wins by a rookie quarterback. So, I mean, you know, you reel off 14 wins after that. It was pretty special. And he did it by only throwing the ball. We had almost 100% win rate that year when he threw the ball less than 25 times.
Yeah. It's incredible right there. What did you think of Josh Rosen when you watched him out there for the 4 minutes and 30 seconds finishing that game? What did you think of Josh Rosen and what you saw?
I thought he was very steely in his reserve because that's a tough spot
mm-hmm.
to put a rookie in.
Yep.
And it's not due to injury. It was due to the fact that your quarterback had the 1,000-yard stare on the sideline. And when you have the fumble that Sam had.
Wait a minute. What did you call that? The
1,000-yard stare.
The 1,000-yard stare
yeah.
on the sideline.
That's the one where I'm looking I'm looking through you, even though you're looking at me.
I see.
Yeah. I am lost. The eyes have fully dilated. And I don't know what, it's just shell shock.
It's the way that I stare at the television on a Friday night. Is that it right there? Just flatlining.
Exactly. But is your television on, though, Wolf? That's what I always question.
Honestly, I couldn't tell you on or not. I'm just staring at it. Interesting.
But I thought, because when they pan to the sideline, I'm sure something was said, hey, we're putting the rook in and we're sitting you down for the rest of this game.
Yes.
And that was probably a reaction to it. But he was by himself, sitting on the bench, and just gone. And I've seen that look in a player before. And it's like, and this one, I'm like, yeah, you got to go with him because.
Meaning Josh.
Josh. Yes. You got to go with Josh because I'm looking at the body language. I'm looking at the demeanor of the quarterback. These three costly turnovers, you were in this game. You had this game in control. And then it just went south. Now, to go to Josh, back on my report on Josh, I think Josh did the best with what the situation was. I don't think the play calling was that great for him after the first couple of plays. He had some nice completions, so he got the monkey off his back, getting in the game and getting a completion to a receiver. And he had a little bit of rhythm. That rhythm kind of got interrupted, and he had a bad play. I mean, he tried to force that ball for the interception. But the third and two call is gonna piss me off for a very long time. I'm not even gonna lie to you. You go in a bunch right formation and you run jab 35 BIM with Chase Edmonds in the game and not David Johnson.
Yes.
That pissed me off to no end, because if we're trying to win this game, we're trying to get this first down, we're trying to get the momentum on our side, why do you not have your best player on the field?
Guess what we're talking about at 9 o'clock?
Yes.
Oh.
Third and two.
Right, so let's go into deep detail, yeah, because there's some really interesting stuff on that as it relates to David Johnson. I want to take you through the whole process and tell me what you think in each step of the way as a guy that would have been in that huddle. NBA 2K19 is available now for Xbox One, and we're giving you the chance to win a copy. Just head to the rewards page at arizonasports.com for your chance to win the best NBA video game of all time. That's what it says. Coming up next, did all the Steelers drama get put to bed with one win in Tampa? It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Maximum Football. Super Bowl winning offensive lineman Max Stark sitting in studio every Tuesday and Thursday for an hour, 8:15 to 9:15, just talking hardcore football. And every now and then we'll throw out something else. Like, I don't know, we're safe from the Dodgers peeing in the pool. You know, things like that.
Yeah.
We might throw out there.
No.
Coming up in 15 minutes, Max Starks on third and two. What did he think? David Johnson, Mike McCoy, Josh Rosen, a rookie center. A lot to get into coming up about the Cardinals' loss to the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
But there was a funny comment that was made, and since you know him better than anybody, I want to know your reaction to this, in which Ben Roethlisberger is asked, how do you do such a good job dealing with distractions, coming off the fact that there is no Bell, AB missing practice on Monday, a little Twitter spat, the reason supposedly why he missed, but he still gets fined or at least some kind of discipline from his head coach. And when Ben is asked with dealing with distractions, he says,
We're used to it. No. honestly, I think we've got a great group of veterans.
And then he brown noses all offensive linemen. And he says it's all about the offensive linemen being able to handle things. But I ask you, was that Big Ben actually being honest at first and then, I better not go there?
Well, I think there was honesty in there, because let's face it, we've had our distractions over the years when I was there. Some self-inflicted by Ben himself.
That's true.
So, but I mean, I think it shows the resolve. When you have a veteran locker room, you have to be able to rise above it, because distractions are going to happen.
Yes.
Issues are going to happen. And how you deal with them, you know, it goes back to that mentality of keep it in the locker room more often than not. Obviously, in today's social media age, that is less and less of a thing you can strive for. But, you know, at the same time, it is old news for them. I mean, there's going to be something. You look at last season, whether it's a suspension, whether it's a guy has some type of issue, you know, whether it's AB with his issues on the sidelines, whether it's Le'Veon looking beyond the Jacksonville Jaguars in the playoffs, thinking about the Patriots, you know, whether it's guys joking and not taking these games seriously, and then they end up getting a costly loss. I think of last year's Chicago game with the Steelers. And so, you know, with the whole anthem mishap.
Oh, yeah. With Villanueva coming out. Yeah,
exactly. And then they had the performance that they had. So, I mean, there's been issues. There's been a trail throughout the years when you look at the Steelers. So it's nothing new for them. So for them, they just had to come out and play football. Now, granted, that game last night was sloppy.
Yeah.
Field conditions looked like Heinz Field in November.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, with all the high schools playing on the field.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, have they done away with that?
No, they have not.
Still doing it?
They still.
Oh, my goodness.
So when you get to November,
yes,
they've done a better job of scheduling to where they can resod the grass.
Yes.
But they still spray paint it green. Paint it green so it looks better on television.
So, you know, you've got former teammates, of course, inside that Pittsburgh Steelers locker room. What are they saying right now? The general vibe that you're getting from all the Lev Bell questions that they're receiving. Are they done with that in there? Do they talk about it themselves?
No, they're done with it. Because, you know, and Mike Tomlin put it a good point. He said, hey, we're only focused on the guys who are in the locker room trying to help us win. And I think that's the same mentality the guys have taken. It's not an issue. They don't talk about
it. It's not an issue. So they're not sitting around lunch, and you know how this happens, right? Sitting around biting their sandwich. Man, what do you think? You think love's coming in? They're not talking about it.
No.
Interesting.
Just because of the way that James Conner stepped in and played.
Yes.
And how he's really answered the call for the volume. You know, when you look at and the type of person that he is, and he had the year to learn under Lev, and he also is just a good dude that works hard and wants to be the best teammate he can be. How can you argue that? You can't argue, you know, as much as you know how transformational a Le'Veon Bell is to an offense.
Yes.
But.
Yes.
How can I sit there? I'm looking through the window. It's like, yeah, that's great. I'm sure it's sunny outside, but I'm in this building right now and it's chilly. So
I think they're going to trade
him.
I think they're legitimately going to trade him.
It wouldn't surprise me just because here's the thing. Think about this. If Le'Veon comes back at any point, who has his back in the locker room on the field? Say he waits till week 10, which is what it looks like.
Yeah.
How could he come into the locker room and expect his teammates to embrace him?
Oh, man.
And expect his line to put their all into blocking for him when you lost them in week 1?
Mm-hmm.
And then you show up 9 weeks later.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just like any dynamic. Say, Doug, you decide I'm not coming into work for the next week and a half, even though I told you I was coming in, and Wolf has to drive the show by himself.
That'd be funny.
That was important that you put that in.
That would be funny.
You know, could you imagine? And then it's like, oh, hey, I'm back. Let's go back to normal.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Like that'd nothing. There's no conversation.
Yeah.
There's no, it's just, hey, go. It's going to be rough. There's going to be friction there. So why create that? Especially when they might be in the middle of a playoff.
And luckily, Wolf and I never argue.
You know this exactly. And you know this better than anybody, right? But Pittsburgh and the organization of the Pittsburgh Steelers, very provincial. I've talked to you about this before, right? It is a provincial kind of blue collar. You go to work, you show up with your hard hat and your lunch pail, and you go to work. It's still like that in that town, isn't it? Even though it is transforming from, you know, obviously a steel plant into white collar
tech.
To me, it's still a very conservative kind of blue collar provincial town when it comes to your work and going to work.
Yeah, it's a mentality and a mindset that Pittsburghers have. It's the values of hard work pays off.
Yes.
And that still stands true. So when just like you said, when you think of Pittsburgh, that's what it is. But when you go to Pittsburgh, that's how it is. when you it's football season, Steelers Fridays. Work-wide, city-wide, no matter what your profession, the mayor is wearing Steelers black and gold yes. to work that day. Mellon Bank CEOs are wearing black and gold to work that day. UPMC Tower, everybody's wearing black and gold to work because it's Steeler Friday.
Yes.
And they all they understand is hard work and then rewarding being rewarded for said hard work. You must show up to earn what you get.
To make a long story short, the Lev Bell situation probably going over like a lead balloon in Pittsburgh.
And that's one thing that bothers me. I admit I'm the only person other than maybe Le'Veon Bell's mom that's defending him.
Yeah.
But I hated last night when Joe Tessitore kept saying contract holdout. He is not holding out. He no. has no teammates. He has no football team. He has not signed any contract at all. He owes nobody anything right now.
Yeah.
Unless he did tell his teammates, which I think we all believe, I will be back.
Hey, I'll be back. I'll
and
be
then
back
he's
Wednesday.
Not. Okay, that's different. When you say that, now you've broken a code with you and your teammates. But from a football standpoint, the man's not under contract. He doesn't owe any. This is not a contract holdout. And I don't think that gets said enough. He was given a contract that he's forced to sign if he wants to play. He doesn't like it, so he doesn't play. And he's doing exactly what he should do.
But you know
if
how fans are going to look at that, right?
Right.
Fans aren't
right.
going to see that.
And I get that.
It that way, even though they should.
Yeah, I get that.
The common sense approach is, hey, I'm not under contract, so I have no obligation to be here.
We've only got a minute for you, but I do think that this is – we've already talked about the roughing the passer, which is a different subject. But there's two stories that are really interesting as it relates to that.
Jimmy, as you guys already know, torn ACL.
You've got Jimmy G with a torn ACL, yet for the Miami Dolphins, you have a terrible situation of another torn ACL that is completely based – on the fact that you had a player trying to avoid contact, and in trying to avoid contact, William Hayes makes the tackle on a sack of Derek Carr, rolls over, plants his foot to avoid contact, or excuse me, avoid the penalty, and tears his ACL.
Unbelievable.
So you have this dynamic with injuries getting crazy. So and in the effort to save the game, more players are getting hurt. Opinionated statement, not factual, but I think more guys are getting hurt trying to avoid injuries and play the game soft because it's a hard game.
Yeah, it's meant to be played full speed with no second guessing.
All out.
You play all out.
Or die.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, just look at and the injuries.
And the second guessing and slowing down, I think, is what's hurting people.
It's hurting people. I mean, Jimmy G trying to decide, hey, do I stay in bounds? Do I go out of bounds?
I don't understand that one at all.
Yeah, that one was crazy. But William Hayes, that's the one that just bothers me because it's like, hit the quarterback. If you're doing it legally, or what you think is legal and what's fair. But at the same time, I mean, injuries are just rampant throughout the entire league. I mean, you look at both Tlaib and Peters are out. Muhammad Wilkerson's out for the year.
The body's not calloused. I will continue to say that. The body is not calloused.
No more two-a-days equals more soft tissue
injury. Exactly right.
Yes.
It's just not calloused.
Coming up next, Max Starks, an offensive lineman, weighs in on what it's like to be in a huddle. And you get that 3rd-and-2 call, and you're looking around, and David Johnson's not in that huddle with you. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Are you talking to me, Max Starks? Yes, Shadow. Ray, Spect. The NFL, Ray Spect, making big money in the NFL, and you actually have a good pension,
Your Pantera call-out is driven by AutoNation, with 13 dealerships in the Valley and over 100,000 new and pre-owned vehicles on AutoNation.com. Find out what you're looking for today. Is that the first jealous Pantera call-out?
It wasn't a jealous. It was a factual, as a matter of fact. Just a factual comment
Never asked another man this. But how's your pension right now?
It's pretty good, right?
If I turn my microphone.
Yeah,
there you go.
Work
right
better.
There. Yeah.
And see, it still happens. Still happens. It used to happen when I come in at 6 a.m. when I was filling in. Yeah. I would always forget to turn my mic
off. But that's over here because there's stupid two buttons. Whoever designed the studio, that you only have one button now that you're sitting there.
I still can't handle that.
I want to walk you through third and two, and I want to have your reaction straight to fans at almost every step of this. And I think all the fans remember it. Nice completion makes second and 10 turn into third and two on an 8-yard gain. 2-minute warning hits, and now you've got the third and two. So you're in the huddle. You got a rookie quarterback. You're looking around the huddle, and there's no David Johnson in it. And you hear the play call coming from Josh Rosen. As a veteran offensive lineman, are you thinking, what the crap just happened? Or are you, I'm just focused on the play right now. I just, like, what is an offensive lineman thinking when that comes out of the rookie's mouth?
First thing that's coming out is, all right, okay, what's my assignment on this? What are they going to run in the front? I'm not looking at the personnel first and foremost. I'm like, hey, what do I need to do? Who do I have to block?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What call do I need to make potentially running to the line of scrimmage? What can they give me? What are their tendencies on third and short? What fronts have they shown me? What are the adjustments, blitzes, dogs? That's what's going through your mind. I mean, you process so much information from play call to lining up on the line of scrimmage to the snap time. You don't pay attention to who's behind you, because in my mind as an offensive lineman, it doesn't matter who's behind me, because I'm going to block this guy so far up the field that we can literally put anybody behind me and run this and get this play.
So fourth and five now. Are you still thinking back to third and two? Or are you already moved on when the fourth and five call comes in?
Oh, I've moved on. I'm like, well, that didn't work.
Okay.
Next play.
Okay.
All right. What do we have now?
Next play. Okay.
What's
so
creative?
When you do start thinking about it is when? Will you start thinking about it yourself as a player? To me, it was always on Monday. It was in the film room. It was sitting there watching.
Really? Because I thought it would be in the locker room after the game.
It's sitting there in, no. For the most part, every man is an island after a game.
Yeah.
For the most part, unless you win. Unless you win. If you lose, and I unfortunately had a lot of experience losing, you are deep in your own thoughts. Where did I mess up? You know, literally is like going through a round of golf where you can remember every shot, every stroke in that round of golf. After a game, it's the same way. All you can think, at least me, all I could think about were the three or four plays that I screwed up and got killed on.
I wanted you to give us the inside scoop there. Now just point blank, Max Starks, a guy that's won two Super Bowls. What did you think about the third and two?
I didn't like it. I didn't like the call. I didn't like the formation. And I definitely didn't like the personnel.
Those are about the three things that happen in a play, right?
I mean,
before execution, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, they lined up correctly. But then after that, looking at who was in there, considering the moment, considering who you have at quarterback, considering the point of the game, where's the most pressure-filled moment, I don't care what happened before.
Mm-hmm.
Listen. You had 2.5 other quarters where nothing worked outside of the first quarter. Mm. This is our moment to overcome that. So I want to see the best on the field. I want to see good on good.
Now, here's where this gets really interesting. You have, number one, you know, the press conference, Steve Wilks is not interested really in backing down from the decision. Hey, third and two, what happened here when he's talking to Bickley and Murata?
I would tell you this. I have total confidence in the play that was called. We worked on that play all week. As I mentioned last night, I have total confidence right there in Chase. And we didn't execute.
So he went into, hey, the players didn't execute the call, but we've worked on it, and I believe in Chase. He never, ever has answered the question yet, why wasn't David Johnson on the field? He's basically deflected it every time. David Johnson was asked about it, on how mad you are, upset, what was wrong, David, why weren't you in the game? And it's David Johnson that tells us.
Yeah, it was actually the play before, the third and two. The play before that, I missed a blitz. So I had to, you know, go to the sideline and talk to Kirby about it because I actually did not see the guy, and that's my guy.
Wait. You were pulled because of a mistake?
He called me out to talk about it. Okay. And that's what I hope, and I want my coach to keep me accountable. I want my teammates to keep me accountable. And when I mess up, I want them to tell me. You know, I want Kirby to tell me. I want Wilkes and McCoy to tell me what I did wrong.
So it was a second down play that you messed up?
The second down play, yeah.
Even in that type of situation?
Yeah, because I have full trust in Chase. Yeah. Yeah, everyone has trust in Chase.
What do you think?
There was a dramatic pause from Max Starks.
Now, here's the thing. I love Kirby Wilson. Kirby Wilson was a running backs coach when I was in Pittsburgh. I have nothing but the utmost respect for
Absolutely.
Kirby.
Absolutely.
That could have got handled at the 2-minute warning timeout, what happened. I don't care what excuse you can give me about why you pulled him, and I'm glad that David is a humble type of guy.
Great guy.
But there's nothing you can justify to me in that situation that makes it okay to not have your most dynamic playmaker on the field at the most critical point in the game. There's nothing you can say to me. I don't care if he missed a blitz pickup. They got 8 yards positive off of that play, and there was a 2-minute warning.
Let me try. And I don't even mean – I'm totally playing devil's advocate. I don't even mean what I'm saying, but I want to try. If I have said – I'm the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, and I got so sick of mistakes in preseason game number 3. I've declared, next time you make a mental error, you're sitting out the next play. We got to get this fixed. You are sitting at everybody. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Larry Fitzgerald. You make a mental error, you're coming out the next play. Now, if this happens, and I've already declared that, and now David Johnson comes back onto the field and he doesn't miss the next play, am I making the right decision? What am I doing now? Or am I an idiot for ever saying in the first place, you're out the very next play?
Players in the NFL last longer than coaches do on teams.
Mm.
And
let me ask you this. Are you in favor of in-game discipline? Because I am. I am
to a degree.
I said this earlier, Max.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I said it earlier. I am in favor of in-game discipline. And having said that, I don't know if I could have done it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could have done it on 3rd-and-2 in that situation right there. And I hate myself for it. Because it's duplicitous and it's hypocritic.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely hypocritical. But at the same time, it has to be contextually based. We're an 0-2 football team down 2 in the fourth quarter with a new quarterback in. And I know that even though, you know, because here, players mess up. We miss plays. Heck, if you ask BA to this day, hey, is Max going to miss a slot blitz one time a year for a sack every year that we do it? Yes, I do it every time. It literally happens one time every year. I always mess it up on 62 on the backside on a certain front, and literally happens once a year. Would I want to get sat out after missing said play?
Offensive line is a little bit different.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a little bit different.
But if you mess up a blitz call pickup, I mean, but it's at the most critical juncture. I get you need to prove a point, but it's so much easier to prove a point in hindsight. Like, hey, David, you messed this up. How many times have we gone over this? Okay, it's a 2-minute warning. How do you feel? Are we got more stuff to do? And I just don't agree with the call at that moment. It's hypocritical. I agree with in-game discipline, but it's like it has to be weighed upon how egregious the act is.
I'm way late, but I still want to know. You're a player in that locker room. How do you feel about Steve Wilkes now? He might have lost the game to prove a point. Now, there were plenty of other plays, but that's a decision of disciplining David Johnson that cost your team the chance to win, but you then went to the media and covered for him. He has never said it was David Johnson's fault. Let David Johnson decide if he wanted to admit it. What do you think the team thinks of Steve Wilkes for all of that combined?
Well, I think they still had to say, okay, coach is no nonsense. We have to be on our game because nobody is exempt. And it's a different type of aspect than when BA was here, and they got to get used to that. You have to be accountable for your actions, even to the detriment of the success of the team.
Mm-hmm.
At moments, I'm going to prove a point. I'm going to control this locker room, and I'm going to control the behavior because that's the only way that I know how, and that's how it's going to be moving forward.
Good to talk to you. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Maximum Football comes up again Thursday, 8:15 to 9:15.